Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a weekly RC aviation podcast.
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
It's going to be busy. Episode 73.
No. All right, welcome to episode number 45 of RC Hangar Time. This week we're back at it. What's up, guys?
Not much.
So, who wants to start us off? Who's done something this week?
I went on vacation.
You did? I did. I went on vacation, too.
Yeah, well, that's right. I saw your pics. It looks like you had a great time, and congratulations.
Yeah.
To you. My condolences to her.
Awesome.
Well, you got to fill us in. They can't leave us hanging.
Yeah, tell us, Mike. You start this week.
Oh, well, I went on vacation and rented a side-by-side and went four-wheeling in the mountains for a couple days, and it was awesome. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Is there any news to go along with the side-by-side?
Oh.
Yeah, what happened? Tell us.
I proposed.
All I know. Congratulations.
Yeah, I proposed to my girlfriend.
And she said?
She said, well, I guess.
She said maybe.
Maybe.
If you're lucky.
It depends on what happens tonight.
Yeah, so that's how that went.
Awesome.
Cool.
Looks like you guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a blast. The mountains were awesome. The weather was good.
Any RCing while you were there?
Nope. Didn't get any flying in. Neither. Same when I got back. It's been raining all weekend and all day today since we got back, so I haven't had a chance to do anything. I still need to finish painting the Bixler and get it glued together, and I have a little 3D edged profile plane I need to paint as well and get it glued together.
Yes, I keep meaning to send you a paint scheme for you.
Yeah, I'm waiting for some help. You know, I helped you out so much with your paint scheme.
Yes, hoping you did. You really, really did.
I know. I was hoping that you'd help, you know, you guys would help me out, but...
Oh, I'm going to. Don't you worry. I will help you out tremendously.
But
I keep trying to find the crayons, but my kids have hidden them, so you're not getting any help from me.
Oh, man. Those damn kids always taking everything. But, yeah, other than that, I got to get some flying in soon. Hopefully this weather clears up, because there's a fun flight that I'll be going to on the 6th here in Utah, so I need to get out there and get some stick time. It's been a while. I might have forgotten how to fly.
I forgot how to fly.
I'm giving it all she's got.
Oh, giving it, it just keeps crashing.
Awesome. But does your fiance, does she fly any? Does she do fly RC?
No, but she goes to the fun flies with me, and she supports me, so it's cool.
That'll end. Once she gets the ring, that's over.
That's over, huh? That's it. Yeah. Nope, done.
Along with the sex. Put a ring on it now.
If you like it, you should put a ring on it.
Wait, the Irishman today. Awesome. But tell us about your vacation, TJ. How was it?
It was awesome. It was a great time. I don't know if anybody saw all the pictures and the video posted on Facebook, but took my kids to Chicago. So it was just three of us, and took the train from South Bend to Chicago, the South Shore Line. That's actually my first time riding a real train. And so that was a fun experience. And we went to Legoland Discovery Center in Chicago. We went to Medieval Times, went to Navy Pier, did all this walking and such, which was probably one of the dumbest things I could have done with 2 weeks to go for my knee replacement surgery. And it's been killing me ever since I got back.
So I was right. You sent us a picture, said, where are we? And I said, Medieval Times, and nobody answered.
Yeah, I meant to respond, but I was... since I wasn't driving anywhere and taking cabs and trains, I'd had a couple
intoxicated.
I wasn't trashed or anything like that. I'd had a couple of drinks, but forgot about making some responses to some posts. But yeah, it was Medieval Times. Kids had an absolute blast, and I had an absolute blast. It'd been years since I've been to one of those. So
yeah, that's awesome.
And,
they're fun.
And our knight that we were cheering for was the Green Knight, and he won the whole shebang. Won the nice. The games, and he beat the bad guy. And
yeah, that's because green is the best color to go with. I always got to root for green.
Oh, I should have never said that. Gosh darn it. Here we go. Oh, it wasn't neon green, though, dude. It was like forest green. It was like manly green.
Close not enough. Your green. Close no. enough. No, no, no. I'll take it.
There's your green, and then there's manly green, and it was very manly green. Either way.
Ugh, some people's kids.
But no, we had a great time, and ever since we got back, we came back on Friday night, and it has been horrible weather. It hasn't rained here, but it's rained everywhere else around us, and it's just been absolutely windy, so I've not had any chance myself to do any RC work.
Nice. Did you get your plane painted?
They are. They're all painted and mostly put together. I just got to get the electronics in them.
Sweet.
What's sorry. Going? We're carrying on a conversation as usual every week without you.
Obviously. Oh, man. I see that. All right, who wants to go next? How about you, Dustin? What you been up to?
How's you and your broken wing?
It's done. I'm on the home stretch you? Now. I quit wearing the sling, and things are feeling good. So.
Can you finally hold it in your hand?
I can, yep. I can hold anything in my hand I want to.
Oh, shit. I mean, shoot. I can't say shit on the air. Shit.
No, I didn't get a whole lot of flying in. This last week, like Mike said, here in Utah, is just been windy as all windy. And so I had spent some time. I built 2 40-inch wings. I got the airframes built, but I haven't put the electronics on it. My kid's been bugging me to take her flying, and I'm trying to build something cheap that when she pounds it into the ground, I'll have a second airframe just to move the electronics over. So I worked on those a little bit. And then I got the stuff for my mini VTEL, and I had planned to start putting that together. But at the same time, my buddy Andy got all the stuff for his mini quad, and so he solicited some of my help because he'd never built anything before. This is his first quad, and so we spent some good time kind of laying his stuff out and get it all planned out and get it together, and finally got what's that?
No, go ahead.
Got some pictures of it last night, so I'll be posting those up on the forum, and he's really itching to get that in the air. But he got one of those little 250 millimeter, I think he got it from Hobby King frames, and he bought some electronics from some of the local people here, and it's looking pretty good. I was kind of jealous when we were putting it together, and I think it's going to be pretty sweet. Hopefully it's fast. He put some high KV motors on it. It's a little frame, so I think it's gonna rip through the sky pretty fast. And other than that, it rained like crazy yesterday. I thought I was going to fly a little bit, and I didn't get any flight in because it was just raining all day and all night here. And same thing today. I got stuck at work, so I haven't gotten to fly anything, but I've been doing some building with myself and my friends. So
awesome.
That's all I've got.
How about you, Wade?
I've been working. Since I just started a new job, I've been fairly busy. So basically on my free time, I've been building the EPP Hobby King FPV plane, which actually isn't too bad of an airframe.
Yeah, it looks monstrous.
It's like 1.8 meter wingspan. It's all EPP except for the boom that goes from the fuse to the tail, which is like a big carbon spar. It's pretty legit, but I think the first iteration of it, I underestimated the power I needed. So I've jumped up to like a 1300 watt motor. It's like basically the size of my fist, and I'm running a 3-bladed propeller on it, which looks pretty cool.
Is that a pusher or is that a?
It's a pusher. Yeah. It's like a top wing, top rear mount pusher. It looks really cool. I sent the link, I guess earlier in on the conversation, but,
I'll post it again if anybody's interested. It's only like a $60 airframe. It's huge. But I mean, like, because of what we're talking about tonight, I mean, it is kind of relevant because I'm running basically just Boss Cam, I think is what it is, the 5.8 FPV system, video transmitter, video receiver, 600 milliwatt, you know, with a little cheapo 600 TBL camera, and it's pretty legit, so it works really well. So the only thing I got to order is some new antennas, because I got basically like the stick antennas.
Yeah, those whips are going to get some circular polarized antennas.
Yeah, I was looking at the new stuff from IB Crazy. And and I got some of that stuff, like, you know, in mind, basically. And I got a guy down in Arizona that he sells all this stuff too. So I'm probably going to end up buying from him just to kind of support him.
Awesome. Should we move on to some news?
News.
Heck yeah.
All right. TJ's got some news for us, I hear.
I've got news.
What is your news?
Well, first to start off with, a weekly shout out that I'd like to be doing just to recognize some of our peeps out there that are keeping active on Facebook in our group. And this week I want to give an awesome shout out to Kevin Peavy there in Texas. He had posted a video of his maiden flight of the Hangar 9 P-47 Thunderbolt. And we'll start by saying that is one sweet-looking bird. Warbird, that is. It was a nice-looking plane. And it looks like he had a great flight from the looks of his video. And he seemed quite excited about it as well.
Yeah, beautiful airplane.
Oh, it was. It is. I shouldn't say was because it's still in one piece. Hopefully, as of this time, it was its maiden. But it looked like a great. It looks like a great looking plane. Looks like it flew really well, and even got it on the ground safely. So, but that's my shout out for the week. But I do have some other news. Talk about RC wise, just some new products out there. First one I want to talk about. It sounds like or looks like Horizon Hobby has finally listened to a lot of people, a lot of the RCers out there on their products. They've always been a little higher priced than most people, and they were always retract ready or flap ready, but you always had to buy the extras to do it, which always added to your total price of your aircraft. They're sticking with about the same price point, $219 plug and play, $249 for bind and fly, but they have the new P-51D coming out with AS3X technology. And it has retracts installed, electric retracts, and flaps, all ready to go.
They don't come with gas retracts?
No, they're electric.
Okay.
It's electric.
No, not electric.
I know that's where you're going. But it's modeled the Dallas doll. And it actually looks pretty sweet. It even comes with a scale prop, which they don't normally do either with Horizon. But it looks like they've done some good things with this plane. It's looks sharp. The video looks like it's sharp. It flies really well. And the fact that it actually comes with the retracts and the flaps built in, ready to go, for me is pretty exciting. So,
and it uses 3S2200.
Popular battery.
Yes. Doesn't everything use 2200s?
No. Yes. Even
if not, you make it use
700.
We find a way.
Sweet. Anything else?
Yeah, the last thing I want to talk about real quick for my part of the news, another new product. Well, it's not a new announcement, out for almost a month, I think, or just over a month. And I have one of their first products, and that was the Flight from Flytrex. I don't know if you're all familiar with Flytrex, but they used to have a flight logger, and it's called the Flytrex Core, which they still have, I should say they used to have. Which is a great little device to hook up to your quad, whether it be a Phantom, whether it be Blade, or it be your own. It would log your flights. Well, now they have the new Flytrex Live. It's another new module. It also, I mean, not only does it do flight logging, but it mission analyzer. It's very versatile. It still uses, you know, it still has full support for NASA, for Phantom, Blade, APM 2.5, 2.6. It's only 31 grams, but the nice thing about it now, it is a live tracker, GPS tracker, so you do not have to worry about flyaways. You can track your multi-rotor. It has a last seen online tool, which is really cool. Has a live flight channel, which is really neat. Basically, share your flight telemetry with Google Maps path overlay as you are flying. It will overlay on Google Maps so people can watch your flight, or your flight path, I should say. And it uses GSM connection. So all your expensive equipment is connected at all times. So it's really cool. I love their core. It's a great product. It's worked really well. And now they're adding the live telemetry to it, which, you know, with the Blade, there's doesn't have telemetry built in. So now you're getting in some aspects of telemetry and live tracking at the same time. And a lot of people experience or dealt with flyaways. And I'm kind of leaned with the way Wade thinks of flyaways as it not being actually the product's fault, but still, now you can track it.
Sweet.
Yay.
So. Has anybody got some news? Anybody else?
Anybody else?
While we're talking about new products, I found something pretty sweet last week. Maybe it'd be cool for some people, because I'd kind of searched for something like this for a while, because on my quads for my LED lights, I run Force 4S, and my LED lights, I always have to make a bind plug adapter so I can get the 11 volts out of my 4S batteries. I don't necessarily like that because I'm pulling from all but one cell to, you know, to power my LEDs. But I was in the RC groups, and if I would have thought more about it, I would have snagged the link. But he had a link to this little mini 3-amp DC power step-down, adjustable power step-down. And so I found him on eBay. He had a link to a U.S. guy, and I ordered like 8 of them just because they were only $4. But I got one this week, and I put it on my 4S input, and you just put your multimeter on and turn the knob until you get the desired output voltage. So I no longer have to make adapters for my quads. I can just solder right to this little board and power up. I can share that link. It's pretty sweet. If you're powering anything that is, you know, not able to accept 14 volts, it's pretty sweet.
See, I figured a different way around that problem, because I was kind of curious, you know, like all my LEDs would like burn out after a while, get really hot, things like that. And I go on eBay, and there's a Texas trucker. I'll give you guys the link on the page. But these LED light strips actually accept all the way up to like 15 volts.
Oh.
And so you just solder them right into the power distribution board on like your multi-rotor. That's it.
Are they more expensive than the regular LEDs? Or?
No. I literally spent... Hold on. I'm going to find it while we're talking, but I didn't spend more than like $4 for each strip, or $3 for each strip.
How long are your strips?
You can get them anywhere from like 30 LEDs, 60 LEDs. Like you can get them in any length, and they come in pairs. So that's really nice.
Yeah, that's cool. Cause I bought 5-meter LED, rolls off of Amazon for like $7 with free shipping. So
yeah,
I've got LEDs coming out my ears. I needed something different, but I can share this link too. So if you got a bunch of LEDs and you need lower voltage, or you need something else, this is a pretty cool little, I don't have an oscilloscope to test if it's clean power, but you know, for LEDs, who cares?
Yeah. Right. Definitely.
All right. Should we move on to our main topic?
You're listening to RC Hangar Time. Please help support our show by going to rchangartime.com and clicking the donation tab. Your donations help keep the show running each week. And be sure to share this episode on Facebook or your favorite forum. Thank you for your continued support, and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right. This week's main topic is going to be FPV 101. We're going to talk about how to get into, you know, FPV flying, what type of models to use, talk about what the difference is between 1.3, 2.4, 5.8, 900 megahertz, what all that mumbo jumbo means, and which is the best, you know, frequency to use to start with, or for your location, that kind of stuff. Get into the differences and stuff, you know. With all the stuff going on with the FAA and all that coming down on the FPV flying, I just want to state, you know, if you're going to get into FPV flying and you're looking to get into it now and it's your first time, there's a bunch of guidelines already set by the AMA. Be sure to check those out. Fly safe. Don't do anything dumb. You know, don't fly over people's heads. Don't fly through fireworks. Don't fly into buildings. You know, just take a safe.
Don't throw things at the quad.
Yeah. Don't throw things at it. Just keep it safe. Do the right thing. Use some common sense. We don't need more bad videos out there giving our hobby a bad name and affecting the whole entire hobby. But anyways, enough beating that dead horse. We've been beating that dead horse for a while. So who wants to start us off? Who wants to talk about FPV?
I think Wade's got a pretty sweet setup in his car from the pictures he's posted. Maybe he wants to go first.
It's like his whole car.
Yes. Well, I got an FPV not too long ago, so I had to do a lot of research on my own. And so basically when it comes to FPV, I started off and I said, do I want cheap? Do I want cheap, expensive? Do I want long range, short range? And I basically kind of went right down the middle, just like everybody else does. And I went with the 5.8 gigahertz. Basically, I went 5.8. A lot of people will go 1.3 gigahertz just because you get a lot longer range, a lot clearer picture, a lot more penetration through objects. Yeah. And yes, TJ, I know I said penetration.
That's what, you know, what I was getting at for flying locations and where you're going to fly. Where you're in a flat land, 5.8 serves you probably pretty well. Where I'm at, where, you know, flying in the mountains and with lots of trees and forests and rocks and stuff, I went with the 1.3 so that I could, you know, dive in between rocks or into a canyon and not have to worry about losing signal.
Right. I actually have two systems. One is 1.3, which, well, I should say had two systems. The first one was 1.3, but that was when I owned my Blade 350QX and the smaller DJI F450. The problem with that being is that the antenna was damn near as big as my power distribution plate, the top plate. So that's one of the downfalls of 1.3 is that the antenna is a little bit bigger and more robust, and it could possibly get in the way. So I switched to 5.8. Now I'm running 5.8 on my airplanes and my multi-rotors, and I'm loving it. But basically, I have it set up in the back of my car to where I've got a power inverter ran, a 21-inch monitor, and the back hatch of my Fiat 500 is basically like a sunscreen. So it's pretty legit.
Yeah, I love the pictures that you put on there.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet setup.
It is. The only thing I wish I could do is goggles. I can't do that because I'm really blind. So a lot of the goggles, I'm not spending $500-$600 on goggles. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Just to not be able to see very clear. So I actually got some from Hobby King. It's basically like a styrofoam box with a screen at the back of it. And
I say you should put your 21-inch monitor in a box and then strap the box to your head.
I'm going to do that this week, so I'll post a picture of some glowing the dark tape around it.
Oh my gosh, did you order the tape?
No, I didn't. I totally forgot, man. I've been so busy.
Oh, you forgot.
I did. I forget a lot of things. Like, I forgot that we had the podcast tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Until Mike tried to call me, and I was like, oh, crap. So I ignored it and then got on like nothing ever happened. But, yeah, I'll show you pictures of all my stuff, you know, once I get it finalized. I'm a noob when it comes to FPV, so I'm sure I got a lot to learn. But this could open up a whole other world for me.
I'm more of a noob than you are. How long? I have also, my only FPV is my little Hubson X4107D. Nice. That's my FPV.
When did you get started in the FPV, Wade?
I got started in FPV, I want to say it's only been about 6 months. Okay. Like, I started off doing basic line of sight aerial photography, and then I said, well, wouldn't that be cool if I could see what the camera's seeing real time?
Yeah.
So that my supposed customers
can kind of direct me and tell me where I should go. And it really worked out. The first use that I used it was for a buddy of mine. We shot some footage of him fishing and riding the boat over a lake.
Yeah.
And that stuff came out amazing, and it was a commercial for his company. And it actually worked out really well, because he could sit there and tell me, well, he had his brother there while he was out fishing and doing whatever. He had his brother kind of directing me where to steer it, all that stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, and that brings up a good point I'd like to, you know, mention as well while we're on that topic. Having a spotter while doing FPV is very crucial. I mean, the first couple times I went out, I thought that I was coming back towards myself, and if I hadn't had a spotter, I would have lost my plane, because I was actually going away from myself, getting out of video range. So with that, and this is before, you know, I got telemetry and all that sort of, or OSD, so I knew, you know, which way I was actually going. So it's having, and that's in the AMA guidelines too. You know, you should have a spotter. It's required to have a spotter technically by the AMA guidelines for FPV for doing, you know, FPV flying.
Right.
But I did have a question. What was your first thought when you, your first time flying? What was your first feelings about it?
I was scared, honestly, because I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
My first time, well, I was going to say real quick, my first time with an airplane, I felt fine after about 10 or 15 seconds, because I've been airplanes my whole life. The first thing I thought when I flew a multirotor was, how in the hell do I know, you know, up and down? It's a whole nother level for me on throttle management with a multirotor than it is for a standard airplane frame.
Right. Yeah. My first thought when I did it, you know, I came up with an analogy. For me, it was kind of like the first time I went snorkeling. You know, you can breathe underwater, but your instinct is to come up out of the water. And I kind of felt the same way when I was flying FPV. I knew I could fly on the screen, but my instinct was to look up at the plane. So I kind of had to, you know, break that habit and just keep focused on the screen and let my spotter tell me where I was at, where I was going, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that, because I fly primarily off my screen, obviously. I tried it the first time with goggles, and I had to take my glasses off, and it was kind of hard for me to stay focused because of that. But I noticed when you're flying with a screen, you have a tendency to want to look up and around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that in some people's videos they post.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real tempting. I mean, it's hard to focus. And kind of with what you're saying about, you know, your spotter and kind of feeling a little bit awkward, you know, your first few minutes. When you have a spotter, you really need to make sure that person knows what you're expecting from them too, because my first experience on FPV, I was a little nervous at first, and I kept looking up and I looked down, and then the next thing I know, I got this uncomfortable feeling, and I went to look up, and I wasn't sure where I was at. And I said to my spotter, I said, "Hey, where am I?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I was watching the screen." And I'm like, "Well, where's my plane?" And luckily, I had a pretty good reference, and I just went back to the screen, and I said, "You know, look this way." I just kind of pointed where I thought I was, and he's like, "Oh yeah, there you are." And so, you know, I brought it back, but you know, I don't think you can just take your stuff and just get out of the car and expect to have, you know, the perfect experience, you know, right off the bat. I think you need to spend a little bit of time knowing the terrain, you know, look at Google Maps before you go, plan out an area where you're familiar. If you can drive around the area and kind of get a lay of the land, you know, you'll just have a lot better experience, and then let your spotter know what you expect of him. You know, I don't want you to watch my screen. I need you to look at the airplane all the time. I need you to, you know, give me audio feedback of what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, my buddy that I went flying with and did FPV with, we pretty much knew what we were getting into for spotters and stuff, because we've done a lot of fun flies together for flying helis. So we're used to spotting each other flying helis, and we know that we're not going to sit there and watch each other fly. We're watching the other people around us flying. So, you know, that helps as well. Somebody that's familiar with spotting and what they're looking for and, you know, what to tell you. And it worked out pretty good. He could tell me what direction I was going, north, south, east, west. And, you know, he'd give me a rough estimate of how high I was and altitude and that kind of stuff without having OSD and GPS.
All right. Now, real quick, since we're doing this as 101, what is OSD?
On-screen display. So basically what happens is you stick a piece of electronic, you know, a display between your camera and your transmitter. So, and it overlays information on your image. And some of the cheap ones will just give you battery voltage and, you know, different, you know, maybe telemetry info. But the higher you go up, you know, like if you have GPS, you can actually get direction of travel, how far from home you are.
Miles per hour,
speed,
altitude, yeah. Mm-hmm. Such.
Yeah,
you know, is it? No, go ahead.
I mean, you can spend just a little bit on an OSD and not get a lot of features. You know, maybe just get that basic telemetry, or you can spend hundreds of dollars and just get just about everything with a return to home, where it actually takes control of your plane and brings you home. If wow. You know, fail safe type thing.
Right.
Now, is OSD required, or is it just something that benefits you?
Personal preference. You involved.
Personal preference.
In my opinion.
It's an add-on.
It's definitely an add-on, a personal preference. Like for me, if you're flying in an area that has lots of landmarks and you're really familiar with the area, then the OSD might not be necessary. If you're really good at gaining your bearings and trying to know and knowing exactly where you are, then that's not really an issue. But if you're one of those people, you know, that really has a hard time with that, or you're in an area like where I live in Texas, it's like I'm by the dirt, the cactus.
Flying over the cow.
It all looks the same.
You know what I mean? Then you might want to have something like that, especially if you're going longer range. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just a preference. Me personally, I still am looking for a good OSD. I just don't want to, you know, fork out the money because I'm a cheapo.
Right. Now, you mentioned range. Which systems are best for longer range, or which work better with shorter range?
1.3 is going to be good for a couple miles, but anything past that, you're going to need like a repeater and stronger antennas and that kind of stuff.
They got 900 megahertz systems. They've got, you know, a lot of guys talk about this old 72 megahertz systems,
mm-hmm.
you know, with boosters on them. I mean, it just, but a lot of that stuff's not legal in the United States. You
right.
know?
and to even consider doing long range, say if you want to buy a Dragon Link and you want a Dragon Link will get you out there about, you know, 10, 12 miles of range. To even consider that, you should look into getting your ham radio license, because they're running off the same frequencies as the ham radios, and you know you can catch a lot of interference if you don't have a frequency checker when you go out flying FPV, and then you'll get in trouble by these guys that are doing, you know, ham radio license if you're messing with them.
Is that the FCC, right?
Yes.
I think technically, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but you're supposed to have a ham technician license for all FPV.
Yeah. Technically you are.
Technically, yeah. Or isn't there something with 5.8 and you're using a transmitter less than 250? We're at 250 milliwatts or less.
I think that's the exception.
Yeah, you're going to have to look, obviously.
Because your range is so limited with that power.
And TJ, one other thing too about the different frequencies, 900 to 1.2, 1.3, 2.4 to 5.8, mm-hmm. you're gonna have a trade-off. You might have really great distance out of a 1.2 or 1.3 or 900 megahertz system, but your antenna, like if you go to a clover leaf, it goes from the size of, you know, a quarter, 50-cent piece compared to 5.8 to softball size. You know, so now you've got this great big giant clover leaf antenna on top of your multi-rotor or airplane or, you know, whatever, right. You know it. So, but then you go to 5.8 and then, you know, objects obstruct your transmission. And so you start getting fuzz, you get breakup, you can lose your signal altogether. So
that's scary.
And then with 5.8, isn't that the same as some of those old routers as well? So if you're even flying in close to town or like a Wi-Fi signal, you can get interference that way too.
Yes. And it's not actually old stuff. All of the new N style routers,
okay,
they transmit on 5.8 and 2.4. So,
okay. So yes. My question is, what good is 2.4 FPV frequency anyways? Because most of us are flying on 2.4 gigahertz radios, right?
So when you go to 2.4 is when you need to start looking into an LRS system. So you're going to go UHF for your you know, control. You're going to be at 433 megahertz or somewhere in that UHF band, like DragonLink or LRS. Right. And that's when, you know, all of the things kind of fall together. You get good distance, you get smaller antennas, things like that. But yeah, just popping that on a 2.4.
Yeah, so somebody getting into FPV that has a 2.4 gigahertz radio, you need to steer them away from the 2.4 system.
And not even just 2.4, 1.2 operates in that same band. I think 1.3 does also. So a lot of times if you have a high watt you know, transmitter, you need to put a low pass filter in your system so that you don't even overlap on your control there. Because right, the 1.2 will still interfere with 2.4.
Yeah.
Right.
I flew. But
can't 2.4 affect 5.8 as well?
I don't think. I could be wrong on this. I know that 5.8 won't interfere with your 2.4 control.
Okay.
Yeah, it will not happen. And plus, you got a lot of frequency hopping going on the 2.4 control from all transmitters, basically. So you're never really going to have any issues.
Even flying 2.4?
Now, I would never do that. I would never go 2.4 to 2.4. It's just, it doesn't make any sense, even if you were to put it to seriously like the simplest of things.
Right.
Well, video transmitters too, they're not clean. I mean, they just broadcast on whatever and they're noisy and loud and they tend to take over. So,
yes,
you know, even though you're frequency hopping on your control, you know, it could drown it out enough that hop doesn't happen.
Yeah. The biggest concern getting into FPV and flying FPV is not losing radio control, but losing video. Because without video, you know, you have no control.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Especially when you get too far away.
Yeah. So, and now I've gotten out of range where I've ran 1.3 on my JR11X, and I've gotten out of range of radio range. And still had video and still had and no control. So I actually had it back, you know, the opposite way, which I felt was better because, you know, I knew how far actually I could go out without getting too far out, you know, and I wouldn't have to worry about losing video. You see what I'm saying?
And that's where, you know, an OSD with GPS would be nice because – so most of my FPV experience is – not long range. I mean, everything I do is close. So I've never really worried about my transmitter or my control being lost. But with an OSD, you could see yourself getting out to 1.5 kilometers. And you know that if you're on 2.4, you know, you're probably pushing the limits and it's time to start heading back.
Right.
So you'd have that, you know, that extra comfort, I guess, with that OSD to kind of let you know how far out you are.
Yeah. And definitely right, with long range, you're going to want OSD because, you know, the buddy that I fly FPV with, he's got the DragonLink and he can get out there about 8 miles or so. And without the OSD, I mean, spotting is pretty much useless at 8 miles. You know what I mean?
Right. You know,
there's nothing I can really do for helping him until he gets into my sight. So well, he's pretty much got to rely on his OSD when he gets out there quite a way.
The good thing about the OSD and the telemetry and all that stuff is generally they have return to home features if you get a decent one. And so even if you do accidentally go out of range, at least you have that failsafe to count on, you know, to bring you back home or at least somewhere close back into radio range.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, and I might take some flack for this, but in the state we are now with the FAA breathing down our necks about FPV and things like that, if anybody's doing long range stuff like that over populated areas. It's not a good idea, you know?
Right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Even if you have OSD, even if you have fail safe, even if you have a spotter in a car, if that plane goes down, it's going to be bad press no matter what right. the situation is.
And me and my friend, when we do FPV, like I said, we go way out into the mountains and, you know, there's nothing there that we're going to hit. Maybe a deer or a bear, you know what I mean, if we crash. So we're staying way out in the hills because we're looking for, you know, scenic video and that kind of stuff. We don't care about in the city video and that kind of stuff. We're out, you know, trying to get, you know, beautiful
no city
scenery.
Where you live.
Exactly. It's all country, all mountains, and you know, it's God's country.
God's country.
No, God's country is Bloomington, Indiana. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's debatable.
No. That's God's country.
Well, here, if that doesn't keep you from doing stupid stuff with your FPV, I mean, think about how cool your FPV video is going to be by flying over top of all these buildings and through the cities and. Then just go on YouTube and realize that Team Black Sheep has already beat your ass on that. So go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's called Google Maps.
No, Team Black Sheep is one of the – I mean, if I could afford all their stuff, I'd buy it all right now. I really enjoy watching their videos and, I mean, just everything. So,
yeah, it's definitely cool. I wish you would own up a little bit more. Now that things are happening, I know he's taken a lot of flack in the forums about people saying it's his fault and who's to say if it really is or isn't. I mean, I think everything kind of came to a head at a time, but I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be in his position for sure.
Right.
Where I'm being criticized for the things that I'm doing. It's just not worth it.
I mean, and you got to think about like their position with the whole Team Black Sheep thing is, these guys, it's not just one or two people. For those of you who don't know who Team Black Sheep is, it's basically one or two guys that set it up, and they basically created a following throughout the world where these people are all over the world doing just some spectacular video, you know. But keep in mind, 90% to 95% of their videos are in other countries.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not violating anything, any rules or any regulations that I'm aware of. Because they're nowhere near as strict, you know, and, you know, just because it's illegal here in the States doesn't mean I can't take my stuff over to Dubai and fly over nuclear power plants. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's just people got to learn that you're in the States. You have rules you got to follow. Follow it. You know, if you want to do crazy stuff, either. Well, I won't even give you the option to just do it under your own risk, but just get it. Go somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you want to push your limits and get some cool video, you know, FPV video, set up something fast, like a fast wing, take it to the mountains and try to fly through some trees or some canyons, low to the ground.
Proximity flying.
Yeah. That stuff is hard. And that's the kind of stuff I like. I'll get up, you know, I'll find like a cliff and just dive right down into it and then try to follow it as close as I can to the bottom before I dare, you know, take as far as I can before I bail out. And that's, to me, that's what's cool. I don't care about flying in the city or through fireworks and all that stuff. I like the proximity flying, staying low to the ground, fast, and in between things, rocks, and, you know, just pushing my limits is through the FPV flying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
But let's recap here a little bit. For somebody starting, let's talk about real quick before we wrap up the show, what model to get and what frequency to start with, and you know, some name brand stuff too. What site you guys recommend?
So to start this off, the first thing I would do is I would go out and read forums. When I got involved into FPV, I spent a lot of time on FPVlab.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are a ton of guys out there that are really knowledgeable. You have people like Greg from Fat Shark posting in the forum. He supports the page. You know, you have vendors like the one I like is Get FPV, or Ready Made RC.
Yeah.
their people participate in that forum, you know. And if you have a question or you have a doubt or you want to know about something, honestly, I think that's probably the best place, in my opinion, to find your information right now.
Right.
I mean, you do FPV forum search on Google. I mean, if you were to literally type that in, FPV forum, you know what shows up the very first, really, is FPV Lab.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to go with them. That is like the top-notch area. Team Black Sheep, Fat Shark. They got all these guys that are on there active all the time. That would be my learning, just like Dustin said. That's my learning curve. That's where I'm going to get my information. And then you need to decide. I'm not going to say 1.2, 1.3, or 5.8. I'm not going to tell you that. That's going to be a personal decision. That's basically all up to you guys, you know?
I agree. And like I said, it's based on location as well. You know, keep that in mind. You know, 1.3, the lower the frequency, it's going to penetrate through objects more. So like I said, if you're flying in the mountains, that kind of stuff, you may want to consider not going with 5.8.
Right.
And it also depends on what you're going to do as well. You know what I mean? So research that first.
I think the other thing is too, is everybody, like Wade says, a little bit different. And for me, when I started, my first camera was out of a security bubble that I scrounged out of the garbage. And I bought myself a Boss Cam, 400 megawatt, transmitter and receiver. And I got the cheapest little LCD screen, 7-inch screen, that I could find. And so I was into it fairly cheap, and you know, some guys fall in love with it and some guys don't. So there's no use of going out and spending $575 on the new pair of goggles and then, you know, all of this expensive equipment to just find out that when you put those goggles on, they make you motion sick, or you can't make them work with your glasses, or,
right,
you know, they don't look good with your contacts, you know, and you pay for it out of it, you know, selling it used. So,
yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to mention too, ReadyMade RC has FPV starter kits too. So you can get a full, you know, whichever frequency you decide, pick. I went to ReadyMade. I went in with the 1.3 gigahertz starter kit, and it was like $250 shipped. And it came with the camera, the receiver, the transmitter, and all that for just receiving video from the plane. You still need a monitor or a set of goggles. I decided to go the route with the monitors because I wear prescription glasses as well, and I don't want to wear goggles over my glasses because it's literally impossible to see. So that for me, I already had a TV laying around. That was the easiest route for me, and it was all, you know, ready to go. I didn't have no guesswork if this is going to work with this component and so forth. They've already taken all that guesswork out for you.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to mention as well. What I have my sights on for when I finally get my actual FPV gear. Fat Sharks has their teleporter version 3 full kit, goggles, the transmitter, camera. In the camera itself, it's 720. It's not full 1080 HD, but it's 720 HD, and it actually has a slot so you can record off that camera for like $200. And it's supposed to be, from all the reviews I've been seeing, it's really good goggles as well. So there's some good all-in-one kits out there that made available and affordable on top of that.
Right. I was going to say, this is kind of a subject to where it's almost like transmitter. It's all about electronics, obviously, but it's like, what's your favorite transmitter? You're going to get what you pay for. You know what I mean? You know, the name brands that are out there, they're out there for a reason. When it comes to FPV stuff, these guys have to do their research, or they're going to be liable for a lot of stuff, you know?
And one thing about that too, is like, if you buy Boss Cam compatible equipment, don't buy Fat Shark and expect it to work.
Right.
You know, if you kind of have to commit on, well, I mean, I guess you don't have to commit, but you know, I started out on Boss Cam stuff. And when I got my Fat Shark goggles, it's not compatible, and I knew it wasn't when I was getting into it, but you know, that's kind of a path that you need to pick too. If you buy those goggles, and I don't know if either one of you or either three of you guys have goggles or have tried goggles, but a lot of people get motion sickness from them and they can't do them. And so they go back to the screen. You know, if you've bought a bunch of Fat Shark transmitters and stuff, and, you know, kind of the same thing, it's kind of hard to go to a screen when you have a bunch of Fat Shark stuff. So,
well, right. I know I was going to tell you, like, if you want a good kit, basically complete FPV plug and play system. And I know this is plug and play because I actually did a review on this, this particular product. If you guys go to fpvwing.com, they literally have 900 megahertz, 1.3 gigahertz, 2.4 gigahertz complete FPV kits. And they include things like the upgraded IB Crazy omnidirectional antennas, 650 TVL, which is basically that 650 is going to be your quality, 400 milliwatt transmitters, receivers, cables, and all instruction manuals. I mean, for pretty damn cheap. You get a monitor and everything.
Nice.
For
basically $325. Awesome. And you don't have to do hardly any soldering. I mean, it's phenomenal.
And antennas on top of that. Now you mentioned some antennas. Holy heck. I mean, there's a million different kinds, and I'm not a spectrum engineer, so I don't know all the frequencies and what antenna gives me the better distance, whatever, but I kind of just stuck with the circular polarized antennas myself, and then I can don't have to worry about, you know, in front of me or behind me or the side of me or turning and, you know, having problems. So
right. I've seen a lot of things I've been reading lately. It seems to be the spiro nets are really popular right now.
Yeah.
I like the clover ones. That's what I went with. The
clover leaf.
Yep.
One other tip too. I learned this the hard way. The very first monitor that I had, I bought just a little used cheapy, and when I lost signal, it blue screened. So as soon as it started getting a little bit fuzzy, it blue screened, and it took like 2-3 seconds for it to get back, even though my signal improved. So if you're going to go with a monitor, that's something else you want to look at, is make sure you have equipment that's compatible with FPV, something that won't, you know, blue screen when you start losing your signal.
Yeah.
I actually went with an HDTV, and I seemed to have good luck with that. Just went and got a 20-inch HDTV.
Yeah. I actually got given a 22-inch computer monitor from Gateway that has component input or composite input. So it works fantastic.
Nice.
You seem to be given a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, I am a cheap ass, dude. If I'm not paying for it, if I don't want to pay for it, you know, if somebody's willing to give it away, I'll spend 5 days asking around like a homeless person, dude, before I go and say,
can I be your Padawan? I want to learn from the master.
Yeah, whatever happened to those pictures of your daughter at the field will work for lipos.
Yeah,
I got to get that, dude. I haven't gone to the field yet, man. My daughter's busy. She's got all this crap going on. She's an avid.
Holding her plane.
Avid My Little Pony collector, you know.
Wait, are you a brony?
I'm the dad of a nowhere near that. Dad of a 6-year-old.
Hey, sweetie, let's sit down and watch My Little Pony. I don't want to, Daddy. Come on, Daddy.
Come on. This is my favorite episode.
Okay, and how I'm gonna tie? And all you listeners out there are probably wondering how in the hell is Wade gonna tie My Little Pony, his daughter, and FPV together? So check it out. My daughter was being a pain in the butt, so I said, hey, you want to try something cool? So I hooked up my Hobby King FPV goggles to her DVD player in her room, and I let her watch My Little Ponies. Say something. I dare you to. Come on.
Who tested it first?
I did.
Yeah, brony.
Exactly. Brony.
Right. You're a brony.
Right. Awesome. Well, let's wrap this show up. And if I wanted to get a hold of you, Wade, how would I get a hold of the host if I had a question for these guys?
Basically, you would email them with their name at rchangertime.com. For instance, if you wanted to email Wade, you would type in Wade at rchangertime.com. For instance, if you wanted to email Mike, you would type in Mike at rchangertime.com, so on and so forth.
No.
Except for TJ.
Except for Mike.
And then TJ, you would email him at crash.
Crash
at rchangertime.com.
What about Dustin? How would I get a hold of him?
Dustin?
Broken Wing.
Dustin at rchangertime.com.
Awesome. Ass Broken Wing.
Broken Wing, this is Crash. Do you hear me? Do you read me? Broken.
I read you 5x5.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangertime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.